It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 4 games with 8 teams, only 2 home runs. And they were both by the same team, both by the same roster, the San Diego Padres. The last game, of course, hosting the Atlanta Braves, and we'll get to that one coming up here momentarily. So only 2 home runs, and both of them from the same lineup. The first 3 games won by the road team. Now, there's certainly lots of theories about where and when home field advantage matters. But at least initially, in these wild card games, 3 road teams capturing the first 3 games of the baseball postseason. Really amazing to see the pitching performances for those teams that were able to start their aces or at least line up their starters the way that they want, even with an eye on what's to come. Tougher row to hoe for teams like the Braves and the Mets when it comes to the pitching, because they didn't have time to do any of that. It was all hands on deck. It was win this game and then worry about tomorrow when we get there. You can't worry about your playoff starter if you don't get to the playoffs. And so you could see where those decisions by the Mets and the Braves for varying results, or with varying results, I should say, those are a little bit different than the Tigers trotting out Tarek Skubal, the potential, probable American League Cy Young Award winner. And boy, did he put on a show. And then the Orioles, that fan base, it's loud, it's proud. It's a group of fans that support their team to the hilt. And yet, the playoff drought continues. And I know it's been frustrating the last couple of years, feeling like they have a team that can make a difference, a team that can challenge for maybe a spot in the World Series, the ALCS. But along come the Royals, and they hold the Orioles completely and utterly scoreless. And during varying stretches of this baseball season, what did we see from the Orioles? They struggled at times to generate offense. Now, if I had my way, these would be one and dones in the wild card round, but that's not how they go anymore, because baseball is trying to expand the playoffs and make more moneda. And so these are best of 3. However, none of the series travel yet, which means that it's still an uphill climb, regardless of whether you're the home team or you're the road team. We just know the game 1 winners have a massive advantage. And that's not a huge surprise. It's just math. It's odds. But here is the number. Are you ready for this? 88% of the time, the game one winner advances. 88% of the time in these short series. So this is a big deal. The four series are in the same order coming up on Wednesday. This is how it goes, right? Football takes its very brief break from games on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we fill the entire slate with baseball postseason. And also WNBA playoffs. They're in the semifinals. So that was a very busy Tuesday, a very busy October 1st, but I think appropriate because October is by far the busiest month of the year in sports with pretty much everything. It's all happening. It is our hump show. I will say this about the busier times of the year. The more chaos, the faster the weeks go by. Now, they're crazy when we're in the middle of it, no doubt. But the more we've got on our plates, the faster the week seems to spin. The faster the earth spins on its axis. So I'd love to connect with you because October's critical. If you're a sports fan, you got to know you got to be all in on October. And I won't even tell you, at least not right now, you can go and check it out at A-Law Radio if you'd like to know about our very special guest joining us at the top of next hour. Coming from San Diego. So happy October. Glad to have you with us. Find us on Facebook as well. Our phone number, 855-212-4227.
That hump.
855-212-4227. We've already got the spot up. In fact, producer Pete was Johnny on the spot, and he posted our bright orange Ask Amy Anything invitation, or as the cool people say, the invite. The Evite actually is what a lot of people, I seem to get invitations through Evite. A lot of people turning to the electronic version. But look for the bright orange box. I'll actually retweet it. And it's also on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. So that's easy to find. It's on our Facebook page too. Along with our poll for the touchdown of the week. So it's a TD of the week poll on Touchdown Tuesday. Easy to find. Still going for a couple more hours. And of course, there are amazing touchdowns that were left out of the poll. Like the 87-yard scamper by Derrick Henry. I will take full responsibility for that. But if we get enough write-in votes, well, you know.
But he won Monday MVP.
He did.
I think there's a little bit of something to separating it. If you win an MVP, then the Touchdown Tuesday, you can't win both.
Oh, okay. That's how it goes. That's the rule. It's a new rule brought in by producer Pete.
I think it's something we should think about.
So there's method to the madness. Yes, Derrick Henry, the Monday MVP. 200 yards, lots of props. How about let someone else have a turn for Touchdown Tuesday?
Exactly.
So the poll is up again on both Twix and Facebook. And our phone number, 855-212-4227.
Hump.
You know what's really funny? After any type of political headline, and on Tuesday, the vice presidential candidates stood next to each other for a debate, the trends on social media crack me up. I try not to click on them when I'm working because it's a really bad idea. But it's pretty funny, some of the trends that show up after these political moments. Yeah, so
especially after tonight.
If you're interested, you can check them out on the margins. For me, they show up on the right margin of Twix. But yeah, just I'm trying not to look at them because it's not a good time for me to be focusing on politics. We're going to dive right in to the Major League Baseball postseason, but knowing also that it's a smorgasbord. We've got a potential wide receiver one available to join another team around the NFL. I can think of a couple of franchises already that need to add a wide receiver or add a weapon, if you will. No, not that kind of weapon. although maybe that's politically incorrect. Funny thing, Pete, actually, this was on Facebook. The link to our new podcasting server.
Okay.
It has some type of language in it. It's like Firebrand, or it's something that is in the link. So it's in the code where people use the link to go to the podcast. I tried to use it on Facebook because you would put it out there on Twix. So I just copied it and was going to cut and paste and put it on Facebook. And because of the language where the term could be used for a weapon as well, Facebook blocked it.
Oh.
And wouldn't let me put it up. So I had to go to instead the Odyssey site and use that link. So I'll have to remember what kind of language. It was vernacular that could have been construed or could have been used to talk about a weapon as well. And I don't know why. Is it Amperwave? Is that the new?
So
Amperwave is our new server where our podcast is not only housed, but is
uploaded.
Well, it's uploaded and it's housed there, but it's also, it accumulates there. It's accumulated there. So you can go and you can find shows from, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, if that's what you're interested in. And so to see that language and then to see it get blocked on Facebook was really interesting. I've never had that experience before. I actually have a lot of friends who've had some of their stuff censored or blocked on social media because of the language. Not sure what that says about me and my friends. I think just that they're passionate about various topics and headlines that affect our greater society at large.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we are not going to talk about here on the show. But yeah, I'd never had it happen to me, and it was so innocuous. It was just the name of the link or the way the link was branded. But that's not going to happen with Ask Amy Anything because we're not going to be politically incorrect. I don't know who decides what's correct and what's incorrect, but it's clear that Facebook is the devil. And so, when it comes to Mark Zuckerberg, he's got some pretty interesting ideas about what you should and should not be posting.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Yeah, right. Thanks, but no thanks. So all you have to do is head to either of our social media sites, look for the bright orange box, and there you will find the spot to post your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Producer Pete will be looking for those coming up over the next couple hours. All right, the first game between the Padres and the Braves was the last game on Tuesday night. And did somebody say first? Because it was the first pitch for Fernando Tatis that got the Braves into trouble.
First pitch, Tatis swings, sends it in the air, very high to left, very deep. Laureano is back. You got to be kidding me. A long home run. First pitch, first at bat, 2-0.
And that's our friend Jesse Agler from the Padres Radio Network on our affiliate in San Diego, 97.3 The Fan. Why is this significant? Well, think about the last few years for Fernando Tatis. He missed their playoffs in 22 for a variety of reasons. He was injured. Remember, he lied about how he got hurt when he was out of the country and he was back home. But also, he popped positive for banned substances. And there was also a fairly widely reported flap between he and Manny Machado, who was ticked off at the fact that they needed him or that he was their teammate but was unreliable. And Machado was pretty open, even with microphones in front of his face, about needing Fernando Tatis to grow up, to mature. Otherwise, we can do without you. So Fernando missed the 22 playoffs in which they made it to the NLCS. And then ends up, if you think about his playoff history, this ends up being his first pitch that he'd seen in 4 years when there was no one in the stands. And it's so completely different, the atmosphere there at Petco Park, the energy, the electricity, but also the pressure. When his last experience was in front of an empty stadium. But first pitch swinging, sending the near 47,670 people into a massive frenzy. I appreciate that he was eager to make a difference, and also that he had the first home run of the 2024 playoffs, and to that point, the only home run of the day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 25-year-old Fernando Tatis leaving his mark in the very first inning, scoring Luis Arraez. And honestly, that's all the Padres needed, because Michael King was dialed in.
0-2, the pitch. Olsen swings and misses strike three. It was the slider, and it's the fifth strikeout of the night for Michael King. 1-2, the pitch. Darno swings and misses strike three. Chased a sweeper that had to be 5 feet outside. Three straight Ks for King. That's a dozen on the night. One shy of his career high.
His first postseason start, he had made a postseason relief appearance, also going back to 2020. And this is back when he was with the Yankees. He was part of the trade that sent Juan Soto to New York. And in return, the Padres got King as well as his catcher in this opener, Kyle Higashioka. Now, the two of them were critical in taking this game one. Seven innings for King, only 89 pitches. He allows just five hits, no runs, no walks, a dozen strikeouts. He was terrific from the very beginning. And to have that home run from Fernando Tatis, to have the run support early, it was best case scenario for San Diego. We did get a home run from Higashioka a little bit later, as well as a sacrifice fly. So yeah, not only did King do the yeoman's share of the heavy lifting with his seven innings as the starter, but then Kyle ends up with two RBI, including a home run, that traveled 387 feet, someone measured. The Braves had opportunities, but 0 for 5 with runners in scoring position.
And they are one out away from starting the celebration. Here's a ground ball to third, backhanded by Machado. All the way on the outfield grass. Long throw to first in time! What a play by Manny to end the game! Michael King and the Padres shut out the Braves 4-0. In game one of the wild card series. They will go for the sweep here tomorrow night.
First postseason start for Michael King, and he was the star. Again, Jesse Agler on the Padres radio network. Couldn't have asked for much more from this guy that's not even the ace of the Padres staff.
The sweeper felt good in the bullpen, so I wanted to use that a little bit more than I normally do. Fastball command was good, glove side, so I think it opened it up for some more chase over there. Higgy had a great game, calling pitches, and obviously the home run was huge. So just a good game to build off to start this postseason.
First debut pitcher in a playoff game to throw seven innings with no walks and no runs scored. Clearly a lot of strikeouts, 12 punch outs. So thought he was fantastic. Everything was working. His misses were where he wanted them to be. I thought him and Iggy were on the same page, and he really pitched exceptionally well.
MLB Network running the highlights behind those two from the Padres. It's crazy because we could just get the clean sound, but instead we hit it off TV where we get highlights behind it. Oh, our newsroom. It's always a barrel of laughs. So Michael King and Mike Schilt there on the Padres' success and clearly the shutout at this level against a Braves lineup that has been in playoff mode for months now. And that's one reason why Brian Snitker is not worried.
I feel good. I feel, you know what? Again, we got to win tomorrow. It's not about, we don't have to win two in a row. We just got to win tomorrow. So, we're sitting pretty good with Max Fried on the mound for us tomorrow. And like I say, the bullpen had a day off, which is really good. And it'll be all hands on deck again tomorrow.
So Brian Snitker pointing to Max Fried, who will pitch on, is it Wednesday? Yes, Wednesday is the day, October 2nd, against Joe Musgrove. And so that could also be a terrific pitcher's duel. I was reading, because again, these are not stats that I keep track of myself, but I was reading that this was One of the quickest games in baseball postseason history. See if I can find the actual number, because it happened really quick. Oh, 2 hours and 9 minutes. So I was listening to this on the radio for reasons that will become very clear to you soon. I was listening along to the Padres radio network, and it was lickety split, and a lot of that had to do with Michael King and the Braves not offering a whole lot of resistance. I can only imagine how exhausted they were. The fact that their starter, and they didn't want it to be a bullpen start, but that's kind of how it played out. But he was only there for, what, 4 outs before they had to go to their bullpen and make pitching changes. And so the game was 2 hours and 9 minutes. Fastest playoff game since Greg Maddux and the Braves beat the Dodgers in the 96 division series. With the new rules and the pitch clock and all that jazz, yeah, we could potentially have some very quick games, but I think it works for baseball. It works because it moves and there's constant action, or at least something happening all the time in this ADHD society that we live in. You don't get bored. You don't sit back and max and relax much. But I will say, if I had bought tickets to this, I'd feel like I didn't get my money's worth. Only 2 hours and 9 minutes. I would certainly have wanted to be there longer. So congratulations to the Padres. They've waited a couple of years to get back to the point where they could have a shot and a perfect way to start. And now their pitching lines up with Musgrove and then Dylan Cease should they need a game three. Fernando Tatis reintroducing himself to Padres fans on the biggest stage. He's only 25 years old, but he's been through so much in his career and his life, some of them being his poor choices that have led him off the path that he wanted to travel. I mean, and some has been injuries, right? So even earlier this year, missing a bunch of time because of injuries. But first pitch swinging, and what a huge moment with the home run.
We have the energy today. His fans are amazing, and yeah, you know, I just got lucky enough to put my bat on the ball, and next thing we know, this place is going crazy. I feel like we played baseball really good today, taking care of business, played really clean baseball all the way around, and this is the result that we have been getting all year.
So the Padres lead 1-0. They're the only home team that protects the home field in this first day of the wild card series. But we are off and running in the baseball postseason, off and running in October. Coming up in a couple of hours, your chance to ask Amy anything. So make sure you send your questions at Amy After Hours, or also on our Facebook page. And coming up, we'll look at the other National League wild card series that was taking place in Milwaukee. That was about dinner time for Brewers fans, and certainly for Mets fans as well. Great to have you with us. Happy hump show to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Severino sets. First pitch. Ground ball right side. Base hit. Turang is in. Chirios stops. 1-0 Brewers on an RBI single by Contreras. The man that all Mets fans don't want to see at the plate, Reese Hoskins. 1-0 pitch. And it hit him. That's another run for the Brewers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The base is loaded, hit by pitch. 2-0 Milwaukee.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Milwaukee Brewers firing up their fans by taking a 2-0 lead in the first inning, similar to the other home team in the National League, the Padres, whom we just talked about. Those are the calls on the Brewers radio network. 2 runs in the first inning. But if you've been paying any attention at all, you had to know what the Mets were going to do.
Here's the payoff pitch. Swing and a liner to right field. Base hit. It's going to head towards the right field corner. Vientos turns third. He'll score. Alonso to third. He's going to be waved in. The ball slow coming out of the corner. The cutoff throw is dropped. And going all the way to third is Winker. 2-run score. And the Mets have come right back. And isn't that their mantra? They've come right back to tie the game 2-2. Winker is now at third with nobody out.
Big triple by the New York Mets and Winker with Howie Rose there on the Mets radio network. They tack on a sacrifice fly as well. And so before the second inning is done, the Mets have pulled in front 3-2. And gosh, after seeing what they did on Monday against the Braves, it's pretty amazing that they had the energy to be able to go back and forth with the Brewers. But this one was not going to be settled in one inning or even two innings. Instead, the Brewers respond as well. They get a couple of runs in the fourth inning, and they're back in front 4-3. So already we've had 3 different lead changes, and we're not even halfway through the ball game. And this was not Bash Brothers baseball, if you will. This was not take your biggest swing, swing as hard as you can, knock it over the fence. This was not big fly baseball. This was a lot more about station to station. It was a lot more about putting the ball in play. It was a lot more about base running and about strategy and about taking advantage and taking risks. Both teams doing that, right? This was about infield hits and moving guys over and trying to manufacture runs. And of course, there were a couple of moments where the defense was a letdown, but that's what happens when runners put pressure on pitchers and on fielders. When you've got guys on base who are smart and are heads up and are willing to take risks and are keeping their eyes on their opportunities, well, this kind of stuff can happen. And it really did for both teams. And ultimately, what we saw Monday for the New York Mets against the Braves when they were trailing, that same sense of, I want to say clutch because that's not quite right, though they have come across clutch. But that same sense of opportunism, that same way that they are going to force the issue, and when a team has leaves the door open or has a mistake, that type of thing, the pressure that the Mets put on you. And I like the way that it was similar against the Braves, where it was just keep it going, just keep the line moving, so to speak, and good things will happen.
4-4, bases loaded, 2 out on the fifth. First pitch, line the other way, base hit right field. Lindor is in, Iglesias being waved in. Frilich's throw to the plate, not in time. Sliding in safely is Iglesias, 5-3 New York. Nimmo goes to third, Vientos on at first with a 2-run single, his second hit of the game. Now the pitch, breaking ball, hit on the ground, right side, base hit, right field, Nimmo is in, Vientos around third coming to the plate, the throw goes to third, 2-run score, stopping at second is Alonso, J.D. Martinez with a 2-run single, and the Mets have put up a 5-spot here in the fifth inning. They go in front of the Brewers, 8-4.
Wait a minute. Didn't we just see them do the same thing against the Braves on Monday? Just keep it moving again. Send as many guys as you can to the plate. And in this particular case, most of the damage done with 2 outs. Also impressive. So the Mets go from being down a run in the fourth to then being up. By the time the top of the fifth was over, they were doubling up the Brewers 8-4, and there were no more runs after that. The bullpens both doing their jobs. And it's also important to note what Luis Severino did in this game. He was gritty, and this was not easy for him. As I say, there's a lot of bats. There were a lot of pitches. It took him 105 pitches to get through 6 innings, and he did give up 4 runs, 3 of them earned, a couple of walks in there, scattered battered the eight hits. But the run support was there for him, and they allowed him to stay out there, I think by necessity mostly. But the fact that he was able to gut his way through this one until they could turn it over to the bullpen was huge.
It was a grind since the first inning, you know. Felt like I made good pitches, just we were hitting the ball to like good spots. But I know we got a good team. I just needed to keep competing, keep just living the game like that, and hopefully we're going to come back.
For him to go out there six innings, it's extremely important for us, you know. So hats off to him, and hats off to Mandy for trusting him. And then Buto and Stanek came in and did the job.
Yeah, so they needed this from Severino because of the quick turnaround, because of how they'd used their pitchers going back to Monday and over the weekend. This was massive. And Francisco Lindor giving all the props to Luis as well as the bullpen. I thought it was interesting what Carlos Mendoza said as well, that he was not expecting there to be any type of a letdown, that instead he thought they'd carry through that same energy from Monday despite the travel and the quick turnaround.
I knew we were in a good spot when we boarded a plane. You know, we celebrated. We got out of the clubhouse in Atlanta, and you could tell right away our mentality was next day, next game. Not thinking too far ahead, continue to have that type of mentality that we've been having throughout the whole year.
Oh, they're so scrappy. And that's one of the things that you have to appreciate about this Mets team. They may not have the most talented roster, though Lindor is an MVP candidate. But the way that they've not only gotten into the playoffs, but now taking game one against the Brewers is about hits and walks. And heck, they'll even take hit by pitches. And they're just going to force the issue against any of their opponents. And so the Milwaukee Brewers have got to rally coming up on Wednesday. Pat Murphy, I wouldn't say he was under fire, but some questions about why he pulled Peralta when he did.
He's probably 18 pitches from where he kind of is limit. We take the lead in the game. We've got a full bullpen. It's a playoff game. We'd like to get him to five because of our bullpen usage over the week. You don't do that. You're playing to win tonight. And Piamps has got a 1.03 ERA in 30 games. Hasn't given up a run in 12 outings.
But the Mets got to him with a couple of hits and a walk. They scored three runs once he took over for Peralta. And for Peralta, he ends up, again, seeing that same pressure of the Mets forcing the issue. So I like what we heard from Pat Murphy, only because that's really the theme and the tone for these playoffs. And especially when you're talking about a very short series. It's funny because we used to hear short series when it came to five games, and now you're talking about three games. And so, yes, these moves, down to the pitch when you make a change, down to not just the different guys that you'll have out there from inning to inning, but what about the pinch hitters and what about pitching changes? And, I mean, it's not just about the numbers. At least I hope it's not. I think the best managers, the best teams are guided by experience and wisdom and instinct too, listening to the guys who are out there on the mound. I mean, we were talking about the Mets on our last show, the fact that Edwin Diaz ended up with a season-high 40 pitches to try to get the Mets out of that first game against the Braves on Monday, and that he refused to come out of the game, that there was no way he was going to sit down after what had happened in the eighth inning. And so he tells his manager, heck no, I'm not coming out. And Mendoza listened to him. Mendoza allowed him to stay out there. And so the decisions are scrutinized. Of course, when they blow up, they're also criticized. But every single move matters so much when it comes to October. And that's where we are. You win some, you lose some. Or the old facts of life theme. I know that's older, too old for some of you, but you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. And certainly October, man, every little move can be the best move a manager's ever made, or it can be the worst. And there's really no gray area. We've got four more games coming up on Wednesday. But yeah, three road teams end up with victories. That includes both in the American League. So how about the AL Central coming in hot? We'll get to the Royals and the Tigers after the break. And a very special guest at the top of the hour from San Diego. You can figure out who it is early at A-Law Radio, 855-212-4227. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. We begin with the baseball postseason.
One and two, the pitch. Darno swings and misses, strike three. Chased a sweeper that had to be 5 feet outside. Three straight Ks for King. That's a dozen on the night. One shy of his career high.
Jesse Agler had the call on Padres radio. The Padres over the Braves 4-0 in game one of the National League Wild Card Series. Michael King, 7 innings, no runs, 5 hits, 12 strikeouts. Home runs for Fernando Tatis Jr. and Kyle Higashioka. Game two is Wednesday night, 8:38 p.m. Eastern Time. In the other National League series, the Mets over the Brewers 8-4 as New York goes up one game tonight. The Mets with 3 runs in the second, 5 in the 5th. Game two Wednesday night, 7:38 Eastern Time. Now to Houston.
The 2-2 swing a shot up the middle into center field, a base hit. Jake Rogers will score. 3-2 out. RBI hits. Fearling delivers. 3-0 Tigers in the second.
Dan Dickerson, the call on Tigers radio. The Tigers win game one, beat the Astros 3-1. Tarek Skubal, 6 innings, no runs, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts. Game two Wednesday at 2:32 p.m. Eastern Time. Also in the American League, the Royals blank the Orioles 1-0. Cole Reagan, 6 innings, no runs, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts. Game two is Wednesday at 4:38 p.m. Eastern Time. From the NFL, the Raiders have reportedly informed other NFL teams that they would consider trading wide receiver Davante Adams for a package that includes a second-round pick and additional compensation. Bills defensive end Von Miller has been suspended by the NFL for 4 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. In the WNBA semifinals, it was the Liberty over the Aces, 88-84. New York up 2 games to none. The Lynx over the Sun, 77-70. That series tied at 1. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
The 3-0 pitch. Swing the line drive up the middle lane. Pass to diving Pena to center. Perez in to score. Meadows will stop at second. Myers close quickly. Jake Rogers got the green light, 3-0, and delivers a 1-0 lead in the second. The 1-0 pitch, swinging a line drive, base hit into center. Meadows going to be waved around third. Myers up with the ball. Throw to the plate is not in time. Over to third base goes Jake Rogers. 2-out singles from Rogers and Sweeney, and the Tigers have a 2-0 lead in the second.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
With Tarek Skubal on the mound and runs across the plate in the second inning, the Detroit Tigers were sitting pretty. In fact, they had 3 runs on 3 separate RBI singles, Jake Rogers being the first to get the big hit. And they were already ahead of Framber Valdez and the Astros in Houston, mind you, at Minute Maid Park, by the time the second inning was done. And you would think this was the perfect scenario, right? Because Tarek Skubal, he is potentially the American League Cy Young Award winner, a Triple Crown winner, and he was cruising through this Astros lineup, except he ended up dealing with some cramps and had to leave the game after 6.
It's frustrating. I don't really know what I can do to, you know, I hydrate enough, nutrition's fine. It's just probably a product of trying to throw every pitch pretty hard, and I'm a heavy sweater as it is. So, I come out of the game, whatever, but we ended up winning, so it doesn't matter.
I appreciate that he's frustrated and that he wanted to stay out there. He had more pitches to throw. He only threw 88 only. But there are a lot of guys, starters these days, that will only give you five innings. And so Scooble wanted to continue pitching but just couldn't. It's that time of the year where you're likely to get a day still that's hot, that's heavy. Now, in Houston, they're indoors where it's climate control, but still, you know, it can be in the 90s and there can be great humidity in Houston this time of the year. He was still sensational. He was locked down against that Astros lineup and the Astros crowd the way that he needed to be. Scattered just four hits, six strikeouts, no runs across the plate. And so he did his job before he handed off to the bullpen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Astros certainly have a flair for the dramatic. They've gone to seven consecutive ALCSs. I do it every time. And so they know how to come back. Just as a side note, no Justin Verlander. He's not healthy enough. And right now, they can't have him on this wild card series roster. Anyway, the Astros, they had opportunities. They couldn't quite force anyone across the plate. And then they're down 3-0 entering the ninth inning. They get a run on Yanni Diaz, RBI single, and then loaded the bases. And so they did have a huge opportunity late in this game with the crowd behind them.
Brisky sets the 2-2 line drive. Caught by Spencer Torkelson at first. Oh, man. A little higher. It's into the corner, but Spencer Torkelson grabs it, pumps his fist, and the Tigers take game one in Houston. Woo-wee.
Man.
It's never easy.
Nope. Why would it be with this team? Why would it be with this team?
This team loves the suspense.
You can hear they are exhausted, putting all of their effort into it. The Tigers play-by-play team. And yeah, with the bases loaded in Houston and the crowd turned up to Mach 12, this was a huge get for the Tigers, especially the fact that they didn't have Scooble as long as they wanted, and they did not have another run after that second inning. So Framber Valdez, he was good as well once he shook off those initial runs and those initial hits. And they weren't hitting him that hard, but they were able to get to him early. And so that was huge. He was a little frustrated. You could see it there on the TV broadcast that he was kind of annoyed with himself. He did get into the fifth inning and then they used their bullpen. And the rest of the way, the bullpen was awesome. Only allowed three hits to the Tigers the rest of the way, but the damage had been done. And yeah, to get to Framber early, Jake Rogers with the first to have the RBI.
Against Framber and with his good stuff, I knew I was going to probably get a heater somewhere over the plate. So I was just trying to be a little bit aggressive there and got a hit from the middle.
So the Tigers, it has been a while for them in the playoffs. It had certainly been weighty for Tigers fans if you consider where they were. Gosh, going back to the days of Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer and Cy Young Award winners and getting to the World Series, unable to win it, but getting there the year that Verlander not only won the Cy Young, but also was the MVP, they went to the World Series. And so now they have got, well, with A.J. Hinch, and that's another piece of this, which I hope we can find some reaction from A.J. Hinch being back in Houston and the playoffs. But he had a couple of tough seasons with the Tigers. And even going back to, gosh, early August, they were 10 games back in the AL Central. But they had one of the best records, one of the best surges through the later stages of the regular season. And now here they are in the playoffs for the first time in a decade. And in 2014, they got swept in their American League Division Series. So this is the first postseason win for the Tigers since the 2013 ALCS against Boston. That's how long it's been, going back to game four of that series. So yeah, here they are, and they've put AJ Hinch's former team and one of his former players, Alex Bregman, on the brink of an early winter vacation.
I'd say I feel like this team's been fighting elimination all year. We were 10 games back, so we know how to play with our back against the wall. You flush today, come back tomorrow, ready to go, ready to compete, and leave it all out in the field.
I wish we would have won that game today. It's all right. I mean, we got two more, and I know this team. We can come through, and obviously we had good momentum at the end, and that will carry on.
So that's Chaz McCormick after Alex Bregman, and certainly you go to 7 consecutive American League Championship Series, and even though it's not all the same guys, there's a lot of experience in that clubhouse. But Valdez has struggled. He's been a guy that, even though he's got some incredible regular season performances, he's not been able to win in the playoffs yet. He was third in the AL with an ERA that's south of 3, but wasn't able to replicate that in this first start in the postseason. And Detroit doing exactly what it needed to do, coming out and erasing what was a long playoff drought. And yeah, that extends to the Orioles as well. They end up losing their 9th consecutive playoff game. I know it's a weird way to keep track, right? Because the series are different from year to year and sometimes just skip years. But I certainly understand Tigers fans, Royals fans, they hadn't been to the playoffs since 2015. Of course, you remember what the Royals did a decade ago. But for the Tigers, the Royals, the Orioles, all searching for playoff wins. And the Astros really the only team in this American League wild card half of the bracket that has a ton of experience. The Orioles were there last year, but ended up getting dumped out pretty quickly. And this is supposed to be their opportunity now to make good for that and have another year with some experience and guys who are ready and prepared for the stage. And I'll say it again, as much as I love the one and done wild card format, before they expanded the playoffs, there's certainly something to be said for the pressure here in what is an even shorter series with the Tigers and the Royals repping the AL Central impressively on the road in two tough places to play, both the Houston Minute Maid Park, where the fans go nutso, and of course Camden Yards of Baltimore. We'll get to that one just after the top of the hour. And also seeing what we got in the National League with the Padres, who have got some unfinished business from 2 years ago. And we will talk to former big leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr. coming up about 20 minutes from now after the Padres grab Game 1. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Woo-wee.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.